Please join me in prayer. Gracious God, illumine these words by your Spirit, that we might hear what you would have us hear, and be who you would us be, for the sake of Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. Amen. Our Old Testament reading this morning is from Lamentations chapter 3, verses 19 to 26. Listen for the word of the Lord. The thought of my affection and homelessness is wormwood and gall. My soul continuously thinks of it, and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end, and they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel lesson today is from the gospel according to Luke, chapter 17, verses 5 through 10. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you rather not say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink. Later you may eat and drink.' Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Holy and loving God, I pray that you speak through me, and when and where necessary, in spite of me. And Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you, O Lord, are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Increase our faith. Increase our faith. I would be lying to you if I said I have not asked this of God during my lifetime. I would be lying to you if I said I have not asked this of God even just this week. The demand that the apostles pose to Jesus is an all too familiar one, especially in times of trouble, in times of doubt, in times of uncertainty, and in times of fear. But it's an odd question, really. Increase our faith? In what, exactly? Or in who? Faith in ourselves? We know we have prepared for this with our time and efforts. Please let us be able to trust that what we do will come to fruition. Faith in our abilities? I just know with a little bit more rest and strengthening and conditioning, I will be able to run a triathlon again. Faith in medicine? The advancements and strides have saved so many lives, I just know it will also save mine. Faith in our leaders and our government? If my candidate just gets enough votes, then we can thrive. faith in the future. Trust that a better tomorrow will come where every tear will be wiped away and there will be no more pain or mourning. Or is it faith in God? For God so loved the world that God gave us Jesus Christ. And after all, God made a covenant with God's people. I have faith that God will keep it. Increase our faith. Increase each individual's faith? Or is there a total communal faith? And if our faith is increased, by how much should it be? 10%? 50%? 100%? Can faith be increased more than 100%? The math I learned in high school would say no. Is there such a thing as enough faith? Or is there such a thing as too much? Jesus says that faith the size of a mustard seed is sufficient. And we will come back to this. But what's more is that faith isn't a commodity. Faith isn't something that can be doled out like candy or withdrawn from an ATM or stored in a warehouse for future purchase. If it were, we'd find a way to offer faith in droves on Halloween. We'd rack up credit points, pulling it onto a credit card, and we would know that we have enough to get us through a severe winter or an unexpected drought. It is important to remember that faith, despite the apostles' desire to increase theirs, is not the currency by which good or bad things happen in this world. Faith is also not a metric by which we segregate ourselves into pods. The most faithful over here, the somewhat faithful right here, and the least faithful over here. And though faith itself is powerful, it is not the same thing as power. I'm talking about the kind of power where one uses faith to justify the oppression of others. That is not faith. That is greed. Rather, faith is a reminder that we are all loved by God and we are all walking this journey together, helping one another carry the loads that we encounter. In fact, faith isn't really even a noun. Faith is a verb. It is an action, much like love is. It means putting one foot in front of the other amidst the uncertainty and fear that you may experience. It means trusting that even though we may stumble, our feet will not slip. It means obeying our God-given commandments to love God and love one another. In this love, we know we are not walking alone. So, why are they asking Jesus to increase their faith if it is something that only they can do by acting in faith? It's because what Jesus is asking us to do is hard. Our lectionary reading today did not include the first five verses of the chapter, and I think they offer important context. So hear now the word of the Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "Things that cause people to stumble are bound to come, but woe to anyone through whom they come. It would be better for them to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around their neck than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. So watch yourselves. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you 7 times in a day, 7 times come back to you saying, I repent, you must forgive them. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Seven times a day. Forgive. Forgive. And keep on forgiving. That is incredibly hard work, even for those we perceive as the most faithful. It's hard work because it forces us to see beyond the hurt, to see beyond the mask, to see beyond the division and extend love to our neighbors. It forces us to see our neighbors not as our enemies, but as fellow children of God. And even though the apostles may be doubting that they have enough faith, the sheer act of asking for more tells me they have precisely enough. They are engaging and seeking their Lord to walk with them to do the hard work. They are acting out their faith. Rather than hearing Jesus' words as admonition, I invite you to hear Jesus' words as kind and compassionate words, encouraging the apostles in this moment. Why do you ask for more faith? You do not need more. You, my children, have everything you need. Faith, even as small as a mustard seed. Jesus tells us what extraordinary things can be born out of even a little bit of faith. It just takes that seed to be planted. An active faith of God in Christ, lived out day by day in our lives. The question isn't about the amount of faith. It's about the purpose of faith. To live an obedient life to God, loving and serving God and one another as Christ came to love and serve. So may we increase our faith, not in measure of what we have or the size of it, but in what we do and how we live. For increasing our faith is to love those that are marginalized, eat with those who have nothing, clothe those who are naked, visit those in prison, pray with those who are ill, sit with those who mourn, love those you find difficult to love, and forgive those who have wronged you. And forgive again. And again. And again. It's hard work. And it is the work we are called to do as children of God. So increase our faith, O God, and help us better love and serve you with gladness, joy, and singleness of heart. Amen.